We want to welcome you to Refreshed with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refreshed is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to Thursday, a thrilling Thursday, a Thursday Thursday here in Brevard County. I pray that today you are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And so praise the Lord for all God has done for us. We want to thank Bill Andreich of Creative AC Solutions for helping us out with today's program. What I try and do with the various businesses that we have represented in our church is just make mention of them. Some, you know, I try and rotate them around where they're not mentioned the same day every time. But if you have any air conditioning needs in the Merritt Island area or the central part of Brevard County, you could reach Bill Andreich at Creative AC Solutions, and he can help fix you up. So praise God. We've got our eyes set on the weekend. I'll be honest with you. I'm really excited for this Saturday. This coming Saturday is the first Saturday that I have not had anything going on in some time. I do want to let you know that tomorrow night, Friday night, February the 6th, we are going to be having a prayer meeting starting at 7 o'clock at Merritt Assembly of God. We're going to be seeking the face of the Lord. And if you'd like to come and join us for that, there's some music that plays in the background that's pre-recorded music. But we are there to pray and seek God's face. And we've recognized at Merritt Assembly of God that, we should do our best for Him. We should serve Him with excellence. But apart from the power of the presence of the Lord, we can accomplish nothing. So if you would like to come and hang out around the throne with us Friday night at 7 o'clock. We will be at 165 North Grove Street, and we encourage you to come and be a part of that. We'd also like to invite you to our Sunday services. Sunday school starts at 9:30. Our worship service starts at 10:30 this coming Sunday night. We will be having our Sunday night service. It's more of an empowering service that will be taking place this coming Sunday night, where we'll be sowing into the lives of our congregation and trying to become better men and women of God than we've been able to be before. And so those are the things that are coming up this week. And if you do not have a church home, we would love to invite you out to be a part of our congregation. Come and visit and see what God does through our congregation. So with that being said, we're going to get back into the Word of God again today. We're focusing on "Give us this day our daily bread" out of the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6. And I hope that as we've been on this now for several weeks, that you are seeing that there's a lot more that God wants to give us on a daily basis than just food in our mouths. On yesterday's broadcast, we were talking about grace. On other broadcasts, we've been talking about the work that He has for us to do. We've been talking about His supernatural provision of manna from heaven and the ultimate fulfillment of that. It was in Jesus Christ. And so that He wants to give us success, that He wants to make everything that we put our hands to do to prosper. He wants to give us joy and satisfaction in our work, and He wants to give us peace and strength. So, give us the ability to produce wealth. Today, I want to take you to the Old Testament one more time. I happen to love the Old Testament. I love the New Testament, but I think that there is more truth in the Old Testament than what some people give credit for. And when I I tell our congregation, when you read the Old Testament, read the Old Testament with a New Testament lens. You know, I'm not talking about, you know, substituting yourself for God's people. I'm not into replacement theology, but what I'm talking about is there are certain things when you read them in the Old Testament that they are going to seem extremely harsh, and you've got to interpret that under the New Covenant. You know, God doesn't have us go around stoning people and things like that anymore. So you have to read it with a New Testament perspective. And so Isaiah chapter 50, verse number one, it says this: "Thus says the Lord, where is the certificate of your mother's divorce? Whom have I put away? Of which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? For your iniquities you have sold yourselves, and for your transgressions your mother has been put away. Why, when I came, was there no man? Why, when I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Indeed, with my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stink because there is no water, and die of thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering." Listen to this. "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Look, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks you have kindled. This you shall have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment." There's a whole lot of, what do I want to say there? There's a whole lot of correction in that passage of scripture from the Lord. It talks about how the people had literally sold themselves. It talks about that because of what they had done, that they were going to lie down in torment. But in verse number 4, it says this: "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned." And what I want to share with you is that this morning, God has a word for you. And when we say, "Give us this day our daily bread," that's what we need. We need a word for the day. We need a word that is not just going to be for us, but it will be a word that is going to be able to be passed on to others. You know, there's an interesting statement that is made about Jesus and his teaching ministry, and that was this: that he did not teach like the other people of that time taught. He taught as one who had authority. You see, he wasn't teaching just from a historical perspective or just a literary perspective. He was teaching, and he describes it this way in a later time: "The words that I speak are the words that I hear my Father speaking." So, just from an interesting past, just from this particular aspect, I just wanted to say this, that if you and I want to have a word that we can pass on to someone else today, we need to first wake up today and say, God, give us this day our daily bread. You see, let me go into pastor mode for just a moment here on the radio program. The messages that you hear at church, when you go to church, are not just meant for you. When you hear a testimony at church, that is not just so that you can say, amen, look, that's wonderful. I'm so glad what God did for that person. The things that we receive, the things that we hear at church, the testimonies that we hear, those are supposed to be distributed. As long as we are listening and saying, God, teach me, God, give me something that I can pass along to other people, then our relationship with God is never going to grow dull. It's never going to grow boring. What happens a lot of times is people reach a place in their walk with Jesus where they come to say, I've heard it, I've seen it, I got the t-shirt, and I'm not impressed anymore. And the thing about God is he's wanting to, in all of eternity, take us from glory to glory, from faith to faith. I believe that eternity is going to be a constant learning experience for us, not because God is changing, but because it's going to take so long for us to grasp all the various wonderful facets of God's nature and his personality, his love and compassion for us. And so, no, I don't care if you've been a Christian for a minute or if you've been a Christian for 100 decades. And if that's you, I'd like to hear from you because we need to get you in the Guinness Book of World Records. But today, you are alive for a reason. And God wants you to have an audience with the King today so that you can receive a word from him that is going to sustain the weary, that you should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. It was a long, long time ago, a long time ago. And, you know, our church is not large now. It was even smaller then. You know, when we first came to the church, there were only 6 other people in the church, and so we rejoice in what God has done. But you know, so I could go around and I could remember everybody's face. I could know who was in church and who wasn't in church. And I came home from work. I was working full time, selling shoes, and I walked in the door, and no more had I walked in the door than I hadn't even had a bite of food yet. My wife had dinner ready, and we were getting ready to sit down to dinner, and a person knocked on our door. We were living at the church at the time. Knocked on the door and said, Pastor, I need to talk to you right now. And so I went over and I said, okay, you know, we went and met in my office. I said, what's up? And they began to pour out their heart. And I said to them these things, and you might think this sounds harsh, but it really wasn't meant out of harshness, because I went on and imparted all of those things, to him anyway. But my first response was, as he began to pour out everything that was going on in his life, I said, brother, I really wish you had been at church yesterday, because the sermon that I preached addressed every one of the situations that you have dealt with, that you are dealing with. And God had a word for you yesterday that could have been of great benefit to you today. And then I went ahead and poured out he and I had a one-on-one sermon delivery system. But with that thought in mind, I want to ask you, how long have you been carrying around something because you haven't made yourself available to have an audience with the King to where he could give you a word that would address the circumstances and the situations that you are facing in your life? How long have you been depriving yourself of God's wisdom? How long have I been depriving myself of God's wisdom where my circumstances could have changed? They could have changed today had I had an audience with the King. One of the things that I really appreciated about John Wesley was he made his prayer time not just a ritual, but he made that a serious priority in his life, to where he would excuse himself from people. Listen, there was a time when they wouldn't let him preach in their churches, and so he went to the coal mines and he started preaching to the coal miners, and pretty soon he was preaching to huge crowds all over England. And whenever you start preaching to large crowds, you know what's going to happen? All of a sudden, people of renown are going to want to start hanging around you because they're moved by the size of the multitudes. And John Wesley had a way of saying, you know, you're going to have to excuse me because I have got to prepare myself to get enough sleep to have my meeting tomorrow morning with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords before I go out and minister to the people who are going down into the mines. We pastors, we don't just want to preach a word. We want to preach how it says here in verse number 4 of Isaiah chapter 50, a word in season to him who is weary. I pray that we pastors are not just preaching other people's messages, because that was God's message to that congregation for such a time as that. There may be some valuable truth there that God will bring to your congregation when somebody needs that word, but we need to have an audience with the King before we go to the pulpit, because God knows what each man and each woman is facing in that congregation. And he has a word for them. He has a word for you today. On this Thursday, God has a word for you, if we will only take time to listen. Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Give us this day our daily bread. And that starts when we give our ear to hear as one who is being taught. Verse number 5 says, the Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. Sometimes people, when they hear things that they don't want to hear, they just want to turn and walk away. But I don't believe that God wants us to do that. Let's move on to our next topic today. Joshua, the 22nd chapter. Joshua, the 22nd chapter. And then after this, we're going to spend some time in the New Testament in upcoming broadcasts. Joshua, the 22nd chapter, verse number 1. Then Joshua called the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, and said to them, you have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and I have obeyed my voice and all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days up to this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. You don't see a whole lot in there about giving, but what Joshua was telling the people was that God had given them a mission and they had been faithful to fulfill that mission. It is not just a preacher that has a mission. It's not just the Sunday school teacher that has an assignment. Every part of the body of Christ today, on February the 5th, this Thursday, it is God's desire that the kingdom of God increase and grow. And you and I have a part to play in that. If you've never given any consideration at all to the fact that God could use you to build his kingdom, I'd like for you to make that a matter of prayer today. A statistic that I believe grieves the heart of God is that most people who name the name of Jesus Christ never lead another person into a salvation experience with Jesus Christ. Most of the people who get saved never share the experience with somebody else. I believe that that grieves the heart of God. I believe that percentage needs to constantly be being diminished. There's only one person that, you know, one type of person that I believe has a valid excuse for not leading somebody else to Jesus, and that's the person who received Jesus on their deathbed. Outside of that, I believe that I'm supposed to be a soul winner. I believe that you are supposed to be winning souls. And I believe that if God doesn't want any to perish, but he wants all to come to everlasting life, like it says in the Word, if he wants to restore people to relationship with him, if he wants to restore them relationally and spiritually and physically and financially, I believe that God has a plan to accomplish that. And the body of Christ is the vehicle that he uses to accomplish his plans. As a part of the body of Christ, if you were to say, if I were to ask you, how many of you are have asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life? If you were to raise your hand to that, then the next question is that I see that hand that you are volunteering to be a servant of the Most High God. I don't know about you, but I want to serve God. I want to be right in the center of his will for my life, because he chooses the times and the places that we are to live, to where we can serve and touch people with the love of Jesus Christ to make maximum kingdom impact. And so I encourage you today, God has a mission for you. I pray that at the end of your life, that God would be able to testify about me, that God would be able to testify about you. The day my life is over, that he would be able to say these words, mission accomplished. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So I encourage you today to spend some time and finding out what God would have you to do. Now, I got a few minutes, so I'm going to go ahead and, if I can, get on a little soapbox that I have, because every person has a different personality. There are some that are more sanguine and melancholy. There are some that are more happy, outgoing, you know, lots of different personalities and personality profiles. And you can take those things. A lot of churches have gift assessments, and we have gift assessments. I've taken gift assessments, and it identifies, you know, what are my strengths. And, you know, there are things that I would probably be really lousy at in the church. I pray if your church has those, that you will go to your pastor and say, hey, pastor, do you have this resource? Could I take it? Because I'd like to see where I naturally fit in the body of Christ, where I might be able to serve, and it would be a pleasure. And that's all fine, well, and good. But whatever you do, please do not rule out the fact that God can take what you are naturally and supernaturally gift you to accomplish something that you weren't naturally suited for. I did not watch the Super Bowl this year, but I did notice throughout the year that there was a guy by the name of J.J. Watt, and one of the things that made his year such a highlight, I mean, he's a defensive phenom. He's just, you know, just amazing. But there were times that they put him on offense, and he actually scored touchdowns this year while playing offense, even though he was a defensive player. The coaches managed to work a scheme together where he could accomplish things that he was not naturally positioned or equipped for. And I just want you to know that if a football coach can do that, that my God can most certainly do that. And so when it comes to whatever your mission is, please do not constrict yourself to just say, oh, well, I'm kind of bashful, so I could never be a soul winner. You know what? There are lots of bashful people that don't know Jesus. And who can better identify with them than another bashful person? Be wise. Be a soul winner. Allow God, give me an ear today. Give me a, so that I can hear a word, that I can pass that word along, that it'll be a timely word. And it'll be a word that will sustain the weary. It'll impart strength to them. God, give me that word today, because I want to speak life into somebody else's situation. Allow God to develop you. It will amaze you what God can do. One of the programs, we do not have satellite and don't have cable, but we do have like a, well, it's Netflix is what we've got. And one of the things that my wife and daughter liked to watch was this flea market program. I don't think they produce it anymore. And people would go in and buy things at the flea market, and then they would transform them into something with a different purpose. And I'll be honest with you, some of the things that they would transform it into said, you know what, I like the new purpose better than I liked the old purpose. And so I just encourage you today to be open to the possibility that God could do great things through you, even if others have told you you're not suited for that, you're not gifted for that. There's no way that God could accomplish that through you. I want you to know that God took a man from the smallest tribe in Israel, of the most insignificant family in that tribe, and he made him king over Israel. He took the least of Jesse's sons and made him the king for the ages, the role model king, and his own father didn't invite him to his own coronation. God can do amazing things through you. Get a word from God today. Get alone with him and allow him to give you a word that's going to sustain not just yourself, but the weary around you. We'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.